It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Laker Hockey Talk. It's our July edition of the program, and it will be podcast after we have this program at 8:30 on a Thursday morning. But Damon Whitten is here, the head coach of the Lakers. Lots to talk about. We've got a 25-minute time span here, and we'll try to get it done. We want to thank our sponsors again. We've got H&R Block and Parker Hardware, who present this program every month. And, of course, it's a weekly program once we get into the hockey season starting in October. But, Damon, lots to talk about here. The big news that's come out in the last few days is that Rich Mitro is leaving. He is one of your assistant coaches. He's been around for quite a while. He's had two stints here at Lake Superior State. He's a Northern Michigan University hockey alum, but he's got himself a pretty good gig going, too, out with Shattuck St. Mary's, a very nice program out in Minnesota. But it kind of puts a little pressure on you. You got to find a coach now.
Yeah, no, a great opportunity for Rich and his family, and you know, we're excited for him to you know, make a move that really works well for his family. And I think that's, you know, a big piece of it for them is you know, making that opportunity to go to Shattuck, which is a very prestigious program. He'll be working with a lot of high-end players that come through there, some, you know, very historic names have in the past, and they're trying to you know, dig their way back up a little bit after maybe a little bit of a downturn for their proud history. But I think for Rich and Elodie and the girls, it's just a move that really works well for them as a family right now, and it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. So we're excited for Rich and the family. And like you said, it's a tough loss for us. He's done a lot of great things here at Lake State. Obviously, you know, he's a Sioux native as well. So he's well known in the hockey community, the community in, overall, but certainly in the hockey community as well. So, you know, I think I'm always a big believer that you can get stronger through change. And so we'll attack this thing and go through the search with you know, feeling really good about it. You know, Rich added a lot of great things over the last couple of years to our program, and you know, we'll keep those in place, and then we'll see who's out there that makes the most sense and the best fit, and we'll use that to be a stronger program moving forward, and you know, really just embrace the change and embrace some new ideas coming in, and be excited about that. There's been you know, a ton of interest already. I mean, it just kind of broke the last couple of days. It leaked a little bit late last week, and some people that are a little bit in the hockey world reached out early last week, and then just been bombarded the last couple of days, which is a great thing. You know, it's not easy to get into college coaching. It's a very difficult business to break into. So there's a lot of great candidates that have already reached out, and I'm sure more will be on the way over these next few days. And you know, we'll meet as a staff and with David Pateson, our athletic director, and kind of look at the post. What that'll look like, and we won't be in a rush to make it happen, but I would like to get it posted so we can kind of officially start moving on it and you know, really getting our list down in a quick manner. But it'll be a, you know, really good search for our program.
Yeah, I would think this is the right time to have something like this happen, and this is what does happen off season in the summer. Coaches do move, and you're saying Rich got a good opportunity, and I think he did. I see where they're starting some new programs out at Shattuck, and they probably opened up some coaching positions there, and a head coaching position is what he wants in the long run, and I think he's going to get one at a lower level here, but it's still going to be a great opportunity for him to build his resume. And I would think there are a lot of good candidates. Being an assistant coach at the collegiate level, there aren't that many opportunities to do that, and there'll be a lot of younger people, I would think, who are really eager to get an opportunity like this.
Yeah, it's really interesting when this happens, because you know, you kind of always keep your list, and you're always you know, you get out as much as you can as a head coach, and you're always trying to, you know, stay kind of in touch with who's out there and who's moving their way up in the rankings, whether it's junior hockey, Division III, pro guys that want to get into college hockey. So it is, it's a really interesting mix, and you know, it's really a nice time. As busy as it can be, it's also a great time to really, you know, kind of reacquaint yourself with the pool that's out there of guys looking to get in. So we have guys at the college level that are interested or potentially interested in making a switch over, and for whatever reasons, you know, changing up for themselves. ourselves, a lot of junior guys, a lot of Division III guys, a couple of pro guys that have reached out, some guys that have maybe been, on a different path here a little bit, looking to get back in this path. So it's really interesting to see. And again, I'm excited. I think there'll be a ton of great candidates. There already are, and some really good conversations. And, you know, it can be challenging because there's a lot of people that I really have a lot of respect for and trust in this business that we'll have to tell them, no, it's not a fit at this time. So it can strain some things at times, but a really healthy process to go through.
Yeah, that's the next question on this too. What, in your mind at this point, and I think probably you've talked to Mike York, your assistant coach, who's still here, and maybe David Pateson a little bit about this. What is Damon Whitten looking for? What is it you want in an assistant coach right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think you can go, I think you got to be a little bit careful not to box yourself in saying, hey, this is what we need. This is what we're going to get. And if the talent, the pool of candidates out there doesn't match that, you might not make the best decision. So, our last go around, Rich was a forward as a player. Mike was a forward. I was a forward. Obviously I thought what Mike brought in was really outstanding in so many ways that I didn't want to get pigeonholed and say, hey, we have to go get a goalie or we have to go get a defenseman. So there's kind of two sides of it. You know, in a perfect world, it might be a defenseman from Western Canada and that really checks the right boxes. But more importantly than checking the right boxes is getting the best fit. So, Mike and I have spent a little bit of time. We're in the middle of camp season, so camp's taking a lot of focus right now, which is great. But we want to make sure that we've kind of got our strengths and weaknesses pegged pretty well, and that the person that we'll hire will kind to offset those and balance those out. So we're not locked into saying, hey, we need this or we need that. We want to make sure we kind of have a good idea of what that looks like, but also what that talent pool is. And, we'll get the best person that maybe doesn't hit a box or two, but that's really going to be a good fit for our program, for what our players need right now and what our players, are looking for will be a big piece of that as well.
Yeah, I would think you look at a guy like Rich Mitro going out now, you're going to lose a fiery, upbeat, effervescent type personality. And I don't know if that's something you're looking for in it, or is there, I suppose it's like making a draft pick in the NHL or something. If you're going to go for the best thing you can get there. If you're Detroit Red Wings, you need defensemen, but all of a sudden that Zadina kid's available, you're taking him.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I don't, it's funny, you mentioned Rich's personality and you got it pegged. And I think when people meet Mike, he's a much quieter guy in those kind of settings. But Mike has spent his whole life in a locker room, whether college or pro. And, you get him in that locker room and, he's one of the guys. So, publicly different personas, but in the room, it's certainly, not quite that way as it is publicly. So, it's not a personality thing. It's an experience. I think one thing that I do want to, ideally get somebody that has some good, pretty good recruiting experience, that has contacts out there, that's knows the recruiting game and has the contacts with advisors, with different coaches, that we don't miss a beat. I think when you've seen some of the transitions that have hired pro guys and went pro staffs, I think, Michigan State's probably a little bit of a look at that. I think CC early on, they hired pro guys and you don't know the talent pool. And the kids are committed so young now that not only are you missing that initial year or two, but you're 3, 4, 5 years out because of the way the recruiting has gone. So I do want to be careful with Mike, coming out of playing and not having extensive recruiting experience, that ideally the person will have some pretty good experience that way and some real good contacts that way. I think that'll be important for us.
Do you have a timetable? Do you think you'd like to have somebody on board by, say, mid-August or before then? Or does it matter that you have somebody before the players return?
Yeah, I think mid-August would be ideal. I mean, right. As we know, in a university setting and following state laws and human resource situations, it takes a little bit longer than you'd ever like it to be. But hopefully we'll get it posted, ideally by the end of the week, but if not early next week, and that'll allow us to really jump into the process heavily. So, in that first month or two, August, September, there's so much recruiting, so it might be somebody kind of transitioning up. But yeah, ideally they're here by mid-August before players get back, but that's going to be a little bit tight at this point.
Yeah, and there's not too much we can do about it except go out and find the best person available. Again, Rich Mitro is leaving Sault Ste. Marie and leaving the program, heading for Shattuck St. Mary's, which is in Faribault, Minnesota. And it's a great opportunity for Rich and for his young family, too. So we wish him all the best. We're going to miss him. And, we'll get somebody else and we'll get to know them and we'll move on.
Kind of the life in hockey, right? Whether you're a graduating senior or a chance to sign a contract, you know, certainly those transitions happen. And, you know, we've talked a lot as we recruit players that, you know, and again, with me being here a little bit longer here, that's been nice to have in the recruiting prospect or process. But I always tell guys, you know, I hope Rich is here. I hope Mike's here. But these are talented individuals that are going to have some opportunities. So I never promise recruits that those guys will be around, because I know, you know, the right opportunity might come along. And here's one for Rich and his family. So like you said, best of luck, and he'll be missed, but we're excited for him in the future that Shattuck has.
Okay, you mentioned a moment ago that camps are going on. I know Rich Mitro is a really big part of the camp program here. Evidently, he's lost to that now. That puts pressure on you. You've got to jump in and start working hockey school in these camps. The Bantam camps, I think, are pretty much done now. The MAHA camp that leads to the festival, that's finished, but you've got your own hockey school, and it's busy.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, you know, it's a little bit different, and we've always worked. It's always been a staff effort, but Rich kind of coordinated some of the you know, advertisement and the organization of camps, I guess. But our staff has always been on the ice with guys. You know, my son plays locally now. He's out of age, so you know, the mites that are out there, I know almost all the mites, and it's so much fun. I mean, it's long. It can be a little bit tiresome, especially when you're missing somebody to run some sessions. But really enjoy it. It's, and we told the campers this on Monday morning, that this is one of our most enjoyable times of the year, that we got to give back a little bit, but just be surrounded by youth hockey. You know, we don't get to break things down to this level very often anymore, so we really enjoy it. And this is week one of 3 weeks, so next week, if anybody hasn't signed up yet, there's another week next week that's mostly ages, and then our third week is just for our Bantams and Midgets, so that's an older week going on, a little bit a smaller week, but long days, but a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of pool time, a lot of some tears as well, which we see a little bit of everything, but we're really enjoying it.
Blue Liner Tournament coming up this Friday. We've already gotten through the Lake State Classic, which was held down in Gaylord this year. That was a couple of weeks back, and now the Blue Liner Tournament's here. It's a 9-hole event. It happens tomorrow night, Friday, down at Sioux Country Club, and that's a major fundraiser for Laker hockey. The Blue Liners do a great job supporting the program, and we want to get as many people out. It's a 9-hole thing. It's a 4-person scramble for teams. Entry fee is like $90 per person, and that includes your membership in the Blue Liners if you want to do that, or it's a little bit cheaper if you don't join the Blue Liners. But we encourage everybody to join, and that's all going to happen on Friday night.
Yeah, no, there's so many ways. The Sioux Blue Liners have been such a long time and big supporters of Laker hockey, and we really appreciate their efforts in putting together this outing. As you mentioned, it's a major fundraiser for the season, and typically we're able to use this to kind of take care of our players and you know, make sure that we're able to do things the right way that way with our players typically. So it's a great event. You know, a lot of interaction out there over at the Sioux Country Club, and I know there's a dinner after. If you don't want to golf, you can come do the dinner after, I believe, still this year, and a chance. We'll have a handful of players there. We just had a death in the family of one of our players, unfortunately, who was going to be up here for that. But, you know, a couple of players will be around as well, and our staff will be around. So it's we're looking forward to Friday night.
That's the Blue Liner Tournament coming up tomorrow night at Sioux Country Club, and there's still time to enter a team. It's a 4-person scramble. Men, women's teams are acceptable as well, so get out and support the Blue Liners at that tournament tomorrow night. A lot of things going on. I want to talk about some of the individuals who are coming in. We'll do that in the second half of our program here this morning, Damon. But there was a real strong rumor, and it was more than rumor, really, that Denver was going to come to the Sioux and play the Lakers on October 19th and 20th. I think that would have been great. I'm not sure how it didn't work out, but evidently they backed out of that.
Well, yeah, it was never the intent. Denver, somebody pulled out on Denver in a series, so they've been all over us for about 2 months, and they wanted us to come out there, and we told them no way. With our travel this year, the couple trips to Alaska, Merrimack early on, Huntsville, there's just no way. I thought that was a really difficult trip physically and mentally on our team. Obviously, we had a couple injuries when we went out there, and that was probably part of that, but there was no way that was going to happen for us to travel out there, so they wanted to come here and play in our I think that third or fourth weekend when we have a bye week, and actually, we really didn't want it. We liked the way our schedule set up. It was a good situation. We were going to use that Saturday to do a Blue Gold game down at Puller, so that will now be back on, which is great. But actually, we signed a contract a day or two ago, and then they called today and kind of backed out of that contract. So it was never planned to happen. We were trying to help them out a little bit with a game, and then they were able to work something out, I think, with one of the Alaska schools. So that's off, but they are finishing a contract from a year ago. They will see Denver next year in the 19-20 season here at Taffy Able. So, and that was always the original intent. So it worked out the way it was supposed to, but we almost had an extra series.
Well, we do have Michigan coming in November 2nd and 3rd, I believe, are the dates. That's Great Lakes State weekend, and that'll be a big weekend. We'll fill the building, I would think, for Michigan.
Yeah, no, it's our schedule works out really well. And again, you know, we didn't want that Denver series. We like the way it sets up. We play some early games, including the opening weekend. We get that, you know, that blue-gold game to kind of work on some things. And, you know, like I said, Michigan coming up will be a big series and a big weekend. But it's going to be a great slate of games. And, you know, really excited. I know we're going to talk about some incoming guys, but I think our returners, our senior class, will really be instrumental on and getting us off to the right foot and leading us this season. It's going to be, you know, certainly the deepest team, the most talented team we've had in our time here. So we're really looking forward to it.
I don't know where it stands yet, but there was a news release came out from College Hockey News, among others, last week about rules changes and proposals that have been made for college hockey. And one of those proposals is to do away with the 3-on-3 overtime that was used in the WCHA and maybe just play one overtime of 5-on-5 for 5 minutes, and then you get a tie, evidently. And
right.
How serious is all this stuff, and how do you feel
about
it?
Yeah, well, that's gone through nationally, and there's been a lot of blowback. For some reason, the Western conferences didn't seem to have much representation on some of those rules committees for whatever reason. And I know there's a lot of purists that like the traditional 5-on-5. I think it's a major step back for our game. You know, our players are coming out of junior hockey leagues where they all play 3-on-3. They all do shootouts. Obviously, you watch the highest level in the entire world in the NHL, and they're doing it. So I think it's really, really bad for our game. I know as a league, we thought, again, I know some purists don't enjoy it and don't like it. But, you know, you get to 3-on-3, the whole building's on their feet. Shootout, they're on their feet. You go away with a winner and a loser and an extra point there. So you know, I know Scott Sandlin had an article not too long ago where he thought it was, you know, the NCHC, including Scott Sandlin, thought it's a major step back. I think it's a major step back. I thought it was, you know, I think we want to model as much as we can the National Hockey League, where our players dream to go to, aspire to go to, and I think it's a really big mistake by college hockey to step backwards from
it. Yeah, and it's mostly the Eastern conferences that are pushing this, Hockey East, ECAC, those people, Atlantic perhaps, and the NCHC and WCHA pretty much against it.
And the Big Ten. I think, you know, the Big Ten, I believe, went right to shootout. Maybe they're a little bit different than our model in the NCHC and the WCHA, but I think the Big Ten was also pretty strongly on board with, you know, modernizing our game and mirroring the highest levels. So it was strange. I don't know if there's a chance for them to come back off of that vote, because there's been a lot of reaction from the West in particular against it. But as of right now, it will just be a 5-on-5 overtime, and if it's still tied, we'll go home a tie and change from where we've been the last couple of years.
Yeah, we'll get 1 point, and we'll have to probably change from 3-point games to 2-point
games, right?
Again, I would think. And we'll get into that as the season approaches. We do play Merrimack right off the bat on October 6th and 7th, I believe, out in Andover, Massachusetts. And we'll be there for those games as well. And that'll be fun getting together with Scott Borick again.
Yeah, how about that? You know, that's things work in a mysterious way there. But obviously, you know, former Laker head coach and assistant and head coach Scott Borick, you know, got that job about a month or two ago. So his first game back as a head coach in college hockey will be against the Lakers, his former team. So it's funny how things work out. But I've never been out, so that trip will be a little bit different. Usually you kind of have a feel of facilities and hotels and meals and things like that. And this will be a little bit of a different feel for us, but it'll be a good contest early on.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. We're going to pause here in our show this morning, and we'll take a break. We'll hear from our sponsors. We'll be back. There's still some rules changes to talk about, and then we want to get into some of the players who are coming in for Lake Superior State again this season. We have at least 8, if not 9, new faces joining the Laker lineup, and we'll be right back to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Well, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, the head coach of the Hockey Lakers. And Damon, our July show, and we were talking about rules changes when we broke to hear from our advertisers. And one of the interesting changes that I see on this list from the world of college hockey is we're going to dress 19 skaters now rather than 18. What's the reasoning behind this? And isn't that a little more costly? You got to take an extra guy on the road now?
Well, it's interesting that it wasn't really a talking point among our national body when we met for our national meetings and our league meetings. So I think everybody, when it came out, was a little bit shocked. It's a little bit of a European model. They have a different feel over there where they dress more players. And, you know, I'm back and forth on it. I like it sometimes. I mean, you can keep a little more guys involved. At times, certainly, you know, injuries or guys aren't playing well. So I think overall it won't be a major adjustment, you know, and again, you can keep more guys involved, more guys playing. So I think it's a bit of a weapon to utilize the right way and to get guys in and consistent in the lineup. So it'll be a little bit of adjustment, and we'll spend some time talking to some of the guys who've spent time, like Rich, who spent time in Europe where they have that rule to dress more bodies. Yeah, and it won't change our travel party just because, you know, you can dress one more, but we already travel extra bodies as well. So I believe we travel 22 already, and then you know, 19 of those 22 will dress or something like that. So it won't change the way we travel for our typical trips or things like that. It'll just be one of those two guys sitting out. We'll dress most nights, and you know, there may be some times we don't use it. We'll see how it goes.
Well, it's interesting anyway. They also have a rule change on closing your hand on the puck. I guess you can do that now. You can actually catch the puck as long as you drop it down immediately and make a play with it. Try to hang on to it or move with it, that's a penalty.
Yeah, that's a bit of adjustment. We actually, I actually try to coach that quite a bit. There'll be, you know, the Bemidji's kind of got, you know, they like to chip pucks and flip pucks and set up foot races. And, you know, we tell our defensemen quite a bit, hey, you can catch that puck. You don't have to drop. If there's a guy in your face, you know, in the past, you didn't have to drop it and make a play under duress. Just hold it. It's a whistle. We go back a zone, which is much better than trying to drop it with a guy all over you and forcing a turnover. Obviously, we can't do that anymore. So, you know, we'll have to make that adjustment with our team, and it puts a little bit more pressure on that defending player at times that you can't just hold it and take a whistle. So that will be a small adjustment for us. I'm fine with it. You know, it's not a major tweak, a major rule change, but, you know, I like the old one where you didn't have to put your defenseman under duress.
Yeah, we do have a lot of new players coming in this year, a lot of new faces in the Laker lineup potentially come October. And it'll be interesting because you got a lot of really good returning players, too. You're returning most of your scoring, five of your defensemen. There's a lot of reason for optimism here with this Laker team. When you've got Diego Cuglietta and Gage Terrell coming back, and guys like Anthony Nellis, Max Humitz, that's a lot of offense right there, and it's a lot of players who really came on last year as the season went on. And then you're going to bring in some newcomers, at least eight of them, including a local kid in Ashton Calder. And this Melvin Karlsson out of Sweden is of great interest to me because he's not a kid who came over and played in North America where Rich or somebody could see him, or Mike or yourself, and then recruit him. He's a kid straight out of Sweden who played in the Swedish leagues. How did we get Melvin Karlsson, and How did he get to be coming to Lake Superior State?
Yeah, well, and I think you mentioned it. You didn't hit our goaltenders. We returned all three of our goaltenders as well. And we all know the way Nick and Merrick's finished up. And, you know, Roman wasn't able to compete last year, but practice every day. So it will be extremely deep and competitive in net as well. I spoke with somebody a while back about the three senior forwards, and each one of those guys have a chance to crack the 100-point barrier in their career this year. It'll take strong years and good years for them, but they'd be the first guys to do that in about 10 or 15 years at Lake State. So those guys are experienced, and we'll really rely on that senior class to lead us. And that's exciting. You know, we finally have guys, you know, an Ashton Calder can come in and play with some upperclassmen like Diego or Gage or Anthony, where in the past years, it seemed like every year we're rolling out freshmen or sophomores playing against seniors at Mankato or Tech or wherever it may be. So we finally have some experience on our side and in our top players, and we're excited about that. Yeah, Melvin was an interesting one. You know, things happen a lot of different ways with the recruiting process. You know, ideally, you always get eyes on a kid and multiple times and in different sets of eyes. I've always, you know, we talked about the coaching hire here, Bill, earlier in the show. And, you know, I've had some of these guys that I've talked to, you know, how do you set up your staff? I've never been a guy that likes the idea of just having one recruiter who does all the work, because I think you can make mistakes that way. Ideally, we get at least two sets of eyes, maybe three sets of eyes. Sometimes you don't have that luxury and time to do some of those things. But Melvin was a little bit unique. We had some NHL guys that we talked to on his behalf. That were over there, had reports on him within their systems. We had some ties to his youth organization. Steven Perfetto actually knew him and played with him. So we talked to Perfetto and some other guys that practiced with him, played with him. And then we also had a lot of video that we did it on. So it is a little bit unique that we didn't see him live in person, but a lot of video and then a lot of people we trust in the business that can give us a report. So a little bit unique.
What kind of player is he?
A little bit of everything. He's a big body over there. Obviously, it's the NHL or Olympic sheet over there, so everybody has to skate. He's probably more of a natural goal scorer. He's got a great stick. He shoots the puck extremely well. You know, where he's used over there on his team, he was a shooter in a lot of situations. He played center mostly for them, but spent some time on the wing as well. But yeah, big frame who can shoot the puck, kind of more of a natural scorer than a setup guy. And that was really probably, you know, one of the main reasons. I think we have a lot of guys who can make plays and distribute pucks well. I don't know that we have a ton of guys who view themselves as natural finishers. And I think you got a guy like Melvin coming in, a guy like Ashton Calder coming in who can finish and a little bit more naturally than maybe like a Gage Terrell, who probably is more of a setup guy, and even Diego who distributes pucks well. So we think they can provide some goal scoring from those positions, and that was a big piece of why we wanted to add Melvin.
You know, an interesting player, too, that we've talked about in the past, because he was with us last year, but he didn't play a lot because he got hurt. He missed most of the season. But Yuki Miura adds a little something, too. He's an interesting kid. He's from Japan. There aren't very many Japanese college hockey players in the U.S., but he's a great kid. I think he fits in well. He kind of goes along with whatever's going on. Good skater. Needs to be stronger, but he could be interesting this year.
Yeah, phenomenal kid. I mean, somebody just grabbed me the other day about him and just what a tremendous human being he is. And I'm still a little bit shy because English is a second language. He's been over, it'll be his third year next year. He speaks it well, does great in school, but, you know, just a great kid. You know, we have young kids around. He's the last one out there with them, shooting pucks or playing with them. You know, great student, does things the right way. And as you mentioned, when he got healthy, we thought we wouldn't get him at all last year with the bad lower body injury he suffered. He got cleared our last home series, and we're like, well, if we don't play him, it's gonna be hard to take him on the road for that long road trip we had to go out to Bemidji and stay out to Anchorage. But we played him that last Saturday night game. He ended up playing in our top six with you know, very little time, and did a really good job. Elite hockey IQ, can make plays. He's one of those guys that has quickness and he's fast, and that really made a difference. You know, you have to be able to skate in today's game, and Yuki can do that. So he left school early. He missed some of our postseason strength and conditioning program because he had a chance to go compete for the Japanese national team, men's team. And so we're hoping that experience competing at the highest level. Japan won a couple games, did a really good job, and Yuki played really well there. So again, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg for Yuki. He's a really driven hockey player, and we expect big things from him.
You know, we got a lot of good defensemen coming back for this team too. We got a couple of veterans in Ruggiero and Sackleman. I thought Keibel showed the real flashes touches last year. So did Will Rydell. They're all back. And then Tyler Anderson, he got better and better as the season went on. To me, he's a good example of why you maybe want to have 19 skaters once in a while, because there's a lot of times last year he could have maybe used a little less ice time during a game than he was forced to take, and he would have maybe come on a little bit more faster. But he did come on as the season went on. I think he's going to be a positive guy this year for you. And you've got three defensemen coming in who can work with these people, a kid named Alex Samandel, another named Mitch Oliver, and then you've got Jacob Nordqvist, the Swedish player coming in. We're going to have, three Swedes on the team next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you look everywhere, that European influence is more and more through North American League, USHL, into college rosters. So, I think our decor has a chance to be really special. You mentioned early on, Sockerman and Kaibo went down at Denver for an extended period of time, and that thrust some really young guys into big roles, even though Lucas himself was just a freshman. But, I think that'll pay off this year because of the experience Tyler and Will got playing, huge minutes early on. But I think our decor again has a chance to be really, really good. We weren't out trying to necessarily get bigger. We wanted to improve our puck skills, improve our skating. We did that with guys like Will Rydell, who goes 6'2 or 6'3, and Andy, who's 6'3 or 6'4. A really unique skill set. Steven just got finished up with the Anaheim camp, so I'm anxious to talk to Steven and see how that went. Colin's having a great summer. He's healthy. It was too bad because both Colin and Lucas were never back to 100% with what they had to go through early on there. So I think it's a chance to be really special. Jacob Nordqvist can come in and quarterback a power play from day one, a real unique skill set to distribute pucks, move pucks, elite mobility at the offensive blue line. Mitch Oliver, very similar. He led the BCHL in goal scored for defenseman, was a captain. Just a tremendous, tremendous kid, tremendous player, on a little bit of a lower team there. So he's a little bit under the radar at times on a team that was rebuilding. And then Alex Mandel, he's another guy coming out of Janesville, a team that went very far in their playoffs. He was their top defenseman there. He's got size, 6'1", 6'2", a real mobile kid, a real good first pass kid. So that's somewhere where I do like that extra skater. Like, I can really see us going with 7D quite a bit next year. And, who's playing well is going to play. And guys with maybe an off night will sit back a little bit. But really, really, again, I think that decor has a chance to be special, and we're going to need it out of them.
All righty. We didn't even mention the goaltenders, really. Well, you did. You brought their names up, but you got a senior, Nick Kossoff. You've got experience there. You've got some kids who can play, and I think Roman's going to help because he did practice all of last year. We'll be pretty good in goal, too. I think there'll be some competition there. We're kind of out of time here this morning. We'll get into goaltending and the forwards in our show in August. We do have one show a month. We'll remind everybody. And don't forget the Blue Liner Golf Tournament coming up tomorrow night down at Sioux Country Club. You can still get a team into that event. And it starts at around, I think if you show up around 5:30, you're going to be fine at the Sioux Country Club. Damon, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Have a great Thursday, and hope to see a lot of you tomorrow night at Sioux Country Club.
All righty, that's Laker Hockey Talk, our July edition, and we'll be back middle of August with our next show. Bill Crawford for Damon Witten. So long from Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.